Lord Jesus, I ask that you move here by your spirit. I ask that I will not speak my words, but that I will speak your word. And that your word will come forth with power, with conviction. I ask that you release your angels to move around this congregation and touch people, heal people, confirm your word with signs and wonders, with miracles, and with gifts of the Spirit. Thank you, because I know you hear me. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. I was blessed already by my brother's teaching, and I could have showed him the note I took this morning, because while I was praying and asking the Lord what he wanted us to discuss, because you know we have a general flow, that I wanted to know the specific angle, and the Lord said parable of the minas, and so I was surprised when I came and I saw that he was talking about the parable of the minas. In fact, this is what I wrote. Differentiates the parable between the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas. That one was my own interpretation, but I heard parable of the minas. And so when I came here and my brother was talking about parable of the minas, I said, Holy Ghost, this is a double confirmation. So I don't know what the Lord wants to teach us from that parable, but I pray, I know that we are going to get it in the name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We are going to read that place again. 11 to 27. Luke 19, 11 to 27. It says, while the people were listening to these things, Jesus proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Why did he tell them this parable? Because he was near Jerusalem and he thought, and the people of Israel, they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. They thought that what will happen during the second coming of Jesus was going to happen now. What we've talked about that a bit yesterday. Okay, so therefore he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And he summoned 10 of his slaves, or 10 of his servants. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. If you use most other translations, you will see 10 minas. It's the same thing. I wrote down the parable of the minas because that's how the Bible I read the most renders it. He gave them 10 minas or 10 pounds. That's just money. He said, put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. Now, you will notice that the world does not want Jesus to be their king. Somebody was telling me the other day that how come it's easy to say God, 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 you know, maybe in a corporate setting. But as soon as we say Jesus, it's a different thing. Now, I have had several true stories of musicians who started rising in fame, gospel Christian musicians, and then they get proposals from very big record label companies. Some of you may have heard these stories. And then they tell them that we are going to make you really popular because we've seen that you are really talented, but just one condition. We don't want you to continue to mention Jesus, Jesus in your albums. Exclude the name Jesus and replace it with God. Now, I want you to realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. What did I say? And that is not news. Well, let me tell you what is news. Jesus did not come and say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except by me. He said, no one comes to the Father except by me. And if you've studied the words of Jesus, you will understand why when he uses words like that, take note. Because people had been relating with God for a long time. All kinds of people pray to God. And the only relationship that they have with God, the Creator, is a relationship with him as God and judge. Because even demons pray to God. Are you aware? When they want to make accusations, they table the accusations to God. And God responds. God responds. But you cannot come to God as Father except by Jesus. Because there is a kind of relationship that we get to have now that was not possible and that is not possible outside of Christ. And the reason why God made us in his image and in his likeness was so that we would be his sons and daughters. He didn't make us just to be his subjects, you know. He wanted us to be his sons and daughters. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, the only path by which you can enter into a relationship with God as your Father. I was praying to one man the other time, and he told me that he does not need to give his life to Christ because he has a relationship with God, and when he prays, God answers his prayers. And he has testimonies that he prayed and God answered his prayers. Now, some people know how to pray. Because God is the judge, is the eternal judge of heaven and earth. Are you following what I'm saying? But there's something that Jesus Christ brings to you. It's not just about having a relationship with God, you know, as God of the heavens, the judge of the heavens and the earth. No. It's to bring you into sonship. No one comes to the Father except by me. You know, when Jesus was teaching us, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, say, our Father who art in heaven. He could have easily said, say, Lord God, Elohim, right? But he brought that dimension. And there is something about that dimension because there are many things. See, the president of Nigeria, you know, people say, the president is our father, you know, he's the father of the land, right? But you know that he knows his biological children. And everybody can be crying that things are going wrong, but if his own son cries, there's a way he will respond. He takes special responsibility for his own children. You see, God wants to become your father. And that is what Jesus brought to us. Because you will meet different people at different times that had some kind of connection with God, especially at times of old, before Jesus came. At times of old. But the dimension that Jesus has brought and that we must understand and walk in is that God is our Father. It's a family matter. And that's the reason why you will get to inherit his kingdom. Because it's his children that inherit their father's property. Right? The Bible says we are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. The reason why we will enter into sonship is when it's because we are like Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. So if your goal is becoming like Christ, you will find that you will enter into sonship. And there are many things. See, when Jesus was on earth, he performed miracles by many ways. There were some miracles that he performed by the anointing upon him. Are you following me? There were many miracles that he performed by spiritual gifts that were operational within him. And there were some of the mightiest miracles that he performed. He performed them by the fact that he was a son of the Father. It wasn't about, listen. It wasn't about anointing flowing from you. It's about telling God to do something. And God will do it from heaven. Like when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And that miracle was proof that he was a son. There are things in your life that Can you find me that scripture in Mark that talks about this type does not go out but by prayer and fasting? This is just a short digression. We're still going back to Luke. This type does not go out but by prayer and fasting, where the disciples of Jesus could not cast out an evil spirit. Mark what? Okay. All right. Now, did you notice that most other translations, apart from King James, did not add "and fasting"? Did you notice? And many of us have been angry with King James. That why did they not add "and fasting"? Well, how many translations do you have there? This is NIV. Open another one. Let's see. This is NLT. This type does not go out but by prayer. This is New King James. This is King James. Oh, another one. I don't know what this is. Okay, English. This type does not go out but by anything but what? But prayer. Now, what was Jesus saying here? Because if you do a little study on the reason why these Bible translations removed and fasting, it's not because they were mischievous or they were trying to tell you that you should not fast. It's because the King James Bible was written from a newer manuscript than some of these Bibles. You know, those days, every copy of scripture was handwritten. There was no printing press then. It wasn't something Gutenberg, what's his name, that invented printing press. So before the printing press was invented, every copy of scripture, of the manuscript, was handwritten. And because of that, there is a high tendency for people to add, remove some things and add some things. Do you understand? And when you see manuscripts, when you talk about older manuscripts, an older manuscript is one. So if you see a manuscript that was produced from the original 200 years ago, I see one that was produced 100 years ago. The older one is the one that was produced 200 years ago. It was closer to the original. So there is a higher tendency of accuracy with the older one. And most of the time, you'll find that the older one will be smaller than the newer one. Do you understand? And there are times that when the manuscripts are being copied, because sometimes it's fathers that are copying it for their children. And so they will put things to help them understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why when you see some Bibles that some verses are missing, or some portions are missing, many times it's translations. You know, there are paraphrased Bibles and there are translations. It's not because of mischief. It's because of some of these things that we are talking about. Now, older manuscripts were written, so there is a higher tendency that the older manuscripts are more accurate. That is why you see that this place says this type does not go out save by prayer. But you see that King James added by fasting, because King James was from the newer manuscript. Now, here's what I understand that Jesus was saying here. And I'm not saying that we must, in fact, if you know Jesus fasted, and he fasted very well. So if you don't fast, I don't know who you are following. Amen? And even that time that they were accusing Jesus' disciples for not fasting, he said that the bridegroom is still with them. When he is taken, that they will what? Now, there are some demons that you will come across. Let me just teach you this one. It's not part of our curriculum. That you will, because the way Jesus taught his disciples to cast out demons was by commanding them to leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the name of Jesus, I command your spirit, come out, and it will come out. But there are some demons that you will meet because of many factors, including unbelief, that your faith may not be able to handle that matter. And the easiest way to cast out that demon is to pray to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So this that does not go come out but by prayer. It means that you find there are some situations you find that you've spoken to the mountain does not move. Speak to the one that no mountain can resist. And you have that access to him because you are his son. You say, Father, this demon did not go. And Father will say, don't worry, he will go. And then the demon goes. Why? Because you connected to headquarters. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are some sicknesses that you will just lay your hands and say, you spirit of infirmity, come out in Jesus' name, and the infirmity will leave. But there are some matters that you begin to make intercessions. You begin to beg God. Then when God says, okay, the person will be healed. If you don't know that, there are some people that you will not heal and you will not know why. That there are some matters that it is between, you go and beg God. The reason why you can beg, are you understanding what I'm saying? And so sonship is that access to the Father. That you know that when you pray, God hears you. And if God says, you know it's not every time that God hears you that he will do what you say. The times that God will tell you that, this thing, I won't do it. And sometimes we say, don't ask me about it again. Paul had an affliction from Satan. And Paul, you know, Paul was, God gave him revelation. You know what he did? He said he asked the Lord about, because he knew that there was no situation that the Lord could not handle. And the Lord said, don't worry, my grace is sufficient for you. And later he understood the reason why God allowed that thing to be in his life. Whatever your definition of the thorn in his flesh, the point was that there was a thorn and the Lord allowed it. It was a messenger from Satan. But he understood that there are times you say, come out, come out. That's the basic way to handle principalities and powers. That's the basic way to handle demons. In my name, you will cast out demons. But there are some situations that Jesus says, this type does not come out but by prayer. You know, prayer is, the real original definition of prayer is talking to God. Making entreaties to God. Amen? Some of you have written official letters here. Government letters. In some portions of the letter, it's called prayer. That is your request to the higher authorities. Amen. Let's go back to our Luke scripture. In obedience to Christ, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. So you will see here that every servant had 1 pound. And my brother had made that very clear. Every servant had 1 pound. Now, we are going to look at this parable, pick the lesson from this parable, and differentiate it from Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, and pick the lesson from that parable. It's not textual error and blunder that makes Matthew to record talents and somehow five, somehow. There are lessons in the two of those parables. So there is something that we have received from God that we all have access to equally. Amen? So they came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. The next verse. And he said unto him, well done, good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over how many cities? Is the reward of the first one different from the reward of the second one? Yes. One had 10 cities, the other one had. And he said likewise, be thou over 5 cities. Verse. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Go back. I've not finished reading it. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. I hope you people understand King James English. Yes. Okay. You are sure? Yes. Titatu. That's why you have different translation. When you get to a place where the purpose of reading the Bible is to understand it too. Amen. I don't recommend paraphrase Bibles. Like there was one Bible I saw, I said, I don't know what is this. Sorry, pardon me, but I don't recommend paraphrase. Paraphrase Bibles are good, but they are just somebody walking in their own understanding into it. But translations are, they are taking the original text and writing it in more relatable English. King James, just the problem with King James is that this was English you were speaking hundreds of years ago. It was the way we are speaking normal English now. This was how they were speaking English when they wrote this King James Version. Do you understand? So now, we don't say, reapest thou didst not sow. You don't write a letter to your Your boss, I use this kind of English. Hallelujah. Verse 22. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee. Okay. How was I having? Okay, I started by 10:50. I should finish by 11:50 is 1 hour. 11:40 is 1 hour, 30 minutes. Okay. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not now, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then givest thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? I hope you're understanding what this is saying. There's a reason why I'm asking you. No. Let's stick with King James for now. Wherefore, then givest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? All right. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. That is a kingdom principle you must take note of. Next verse. But those enemies of mine which will not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. There's a reason why I was insistent on reading to verse 27. And there was a reason why I was insistent on using King James Version. King James Version is still one of my preferred versions. There are some truths that, you know, sometimes in attempt to simplify things, you will simplify truth out of it. So if you see the way I study my Bible, I have New English Translation and King James Version side by side. Yes, it's a good translation. Now, you will notice, I want to point out 3 things from this parable. The first one, Apostle has pointed it out. Everybody had 1 pound or 1 mina. The second thing I want to point out is that everybody did not receive the same, every faithful servant did not receive the same level of reward. Judgment is not only for, you know, bringing down and punishment. Judgment is also for reward. Judgment for you can be elevation. Judgment for another person can be demotion. Promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. So when we are judged, we are being judged, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So I pray that you will receive a reward in Jesus' name. Now, the second point is that everybody did not receive the same reward. The third point is that the master, notice that he gave people territories. He said, be thou ruler over 5 cities, be thou ruler over 10 cities. And he also ordered that the people that did not want him to rule should come and be slain. Did you notice that? That sounds very tough, but that's the truth in scripture. Now let's read the next parable. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. Before we read Matthew chapter 25, you will notice that in the kingdom of God, you are either when you are a son in the kingdom of God, you must serve. Amen. Service in the kingdom of God is mandatory. What did I say? This, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue raised up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You cannot claim that scripture if you are not a servant. This is the heritage of what? The servants of the Lord. And I am the one who vindicates them. All their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You are either a serving son or you are a prodigal son. When you say a parable like the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the 10 virgins, you are either in the category of the serving son, or you're in the category of the prodigal son. There is no middle ground. You're either a foolish virgin in the category of the foolish virgins, or you're in the category of the wise virgins. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are either a serving son, or you are what? A prodigal son. Now, let's read Matthew 25 from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. How many talents did he give the one? To another he gave 2 talents. And to another he gave 1. To every man according to his several ability. So talent is not ability. Talent is given according to ability. So when you see someone that has a lot of ability, that is not the same as talent. Some people work in, they are eloquent, they can teach, they work in the power, they see visions, you know, they have all of this going for them. Those are abilities. Are you following me? Now, in order for you to receive talent, you were born and predestined with abilities. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb to be an apostle. You've seen that in the Bible, right? Galatians. The gifts, you know, there are different, there are different gifts in the body of Christ. There are different gifts in the world. There are gifts that are called the gifts of Christ. Are you following me? You know, it is Christ that is by him all things were made and all things exist. Somebody can receive the ability to sing. And he was born with that ability. Who gave him that ability? Was it the devil? Somebody may have the ability for administration. He can arrange things. He comes to a place that is disorderly and he arranges everything. Who gave him that ability? God, right? Now, Apostle Paul, before he became a follower of Jesus, you notice that Apostle Paul was already leading. He was already, look at the way he was persecuting the Christians. He was a force. But when he now became a believer, God now showed him the real reason why he gave him those abilities. He said God separated him from his mother's womb to be an apostle. Now, when we talk about the gift of Christ, I don't have time to prove it to you. I wish I had time, but we have really limited time and we have a lot of ground to cover. I don't understand why those days of the revival, those Kenneth Hagin, they will do meetings for, this is the closest I've seen. They will do revival meetings for 12 days, for 3 months. They will be coming daily, feeding with the word of God, praying, waiting on the Lord. And many of those things are the reason why we are here today. That's why Europe seems to be lost now, because they didn't have all of that happening in Europe. Now, when you come into the kingdom of God and you surrender to Jesus, you know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth. And the truth will what? Will make you free. God gave you abilities. Okay. Let me backtrack a little bit. So I talked about the gift of Christ. And they are not limited to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said he gave some as. Ephesians chapter 4 was mentioning the gifts of Christ to the body, to the church. There are other gifts of Christ. Everything, you know, nowadays in today's language, you call it talent. You say he's a very talented human being. That is the manifestation of the gift of Christ. Remember that human beings were actually created in the image of Christ. You know that, right? The Bible says that he is the image of the Godhead. By him were all things made. You need to realize that when the Bible says God took sand and molded sand, the Lord God had an image. Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Jesus, if he showed up, you will still see him. I believe this is a very spiritual apostolic place. So I believe that, yes. If he showed up, you will see God had an... You see, when the book of Genesis says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let us make animals and all of that. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, you will see that it just gave us a sneak peek into the way man was formed. Because after God spoke, he went to work. What did I say? You don't want to know the kind of work, the kind of designs, the kind of engineering designs, the kind of architectural designs. Okay, we know, for example, that God spoke in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and he talked about man. But it was in chapter 2 that we saw that he literally took clay and formed man. Do you know that this planet was also formed like that? Hebrews chapter 2 talks about how the moon and the stars, and Psalm 8, are the works of his fingers. Amen? This is a little digression. Holy Spirit, help me. Now, see, why did I go into all of that? Because the best engineer that exists is Jesus Christ. In fact, you've heard the concept of logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know this thing they call logy, biology, anthropology, physiology. What other logy do we have? Psychology. That was a Greek way of explaining every branch of knowledge. Because they understood that every branch of knowledge had a logic behind it. When John said in the beginning was the Word, he says in the beginning was the logic. Jesus Christ is the one, is the summation of all the logics. Because if you understand biology, you will understand plant and animal life and be able to manipulate it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he's the source of all things. That ability you have to be an administrator is a gift of Christ. It did not come from you. It came from Christ. Now, whether you use that ability for Christ or not is another question. Because the devil is a thief. He comes to use the things that he did not create. You see all those people singing for the devil. Who gave them that ability to sing? You think it's the devil that gave them? Did he create anything? That ability was given to them for a purpose in the kingdom of God. Some people have the ability to draw crowd. They know how to draw crowd. And maybe some of the tools that God gave them was the ability to sing or to speak. And even when they were unbelievers, they were speaking and moving people. Those abilities are the gifts of Christ. Now, we have the gift of Christ. Now we have the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? The gift of the Spirit is received after you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The gift of Christ, on the other hand, is not received after you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. God told Jeremiah that before you were formed, right? I knew you, I ordained you to be a prophet. That one you saw was the gift of Christ. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see that these ones are consistent with your wiring as an individual. You just notice that you have ability to learn and to impart knowledge. And God gave you that ability for the purpose of being a teacher, teaching people, and as a result of that, being an influence for the kingdom of God in the academic world. And when you pray in the Spirit and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will discover that infilling will help you to be a more excellent teacher. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it says, he gave to each one according to what? Their ability. Now, when you become a servant of Christ, right? He knows the gifts that he has given you. He will now give you talents. Talents, well, general English, we call talents. We define talents as gifts. But we've seen that he gave to each one according to his several what? Ability. So this ability is actually the gift. The ability, a gift is the ability God gives you to do something more excellently than normal. Do you get the point? In order for you to receive talent, you must be a servant. So these people that are being talked about in this parable are not unbelievers. What did I say? Okay, Apostle. 5 years ago, this your apostolic grace and everything that God has poured upon you, you had it. Right? You may say, I don't agree, but God had given you abilities. They were already manifesting some, even from when you were young. But the influence that you have now, did you have it then? The ability to reach people now that you have, did you have it then? So, one of the best ways I can reckon talent is influence. See, no matter how gifted you are, if God does not open a door for you, you will. That's why people go for the devil to open doors for them, strange doors. A word is enough for the wise. Because what God does is that he will try you and bring you to a point where he can give you influence. He can give you talent. And it is that talent that you are supposed to use to embellish, to extend the frontiers of his kingdom. You know that the abilities were always there. But there was a time that God commissioned you and said, now I want you. You know that these are the boundaries of your influence. I hope I'm making sense. Okay, thank God. I'm consoled. Now, it says, and one came, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightforward took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Amen. Because as you are faithful with the assignment that God has given to you, your territory, your influence will be increasing. What did I say? As you are faithful with the abilities, with the influence that God has given to you, it will increase. So there was a time that you were reaching 500 people. And then if you are faithful with little, much will be given to you. That's a kingdom principle. So as this man was faithful, he increased his 5 talents. He doubled it. The next verse. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. See, if you are not going to be faithful with your influence, you will not be faithful with your sonship. Unfaithfulness is, let me tell you something about the heart of man. If your heart has a configuration, you cannot change it in different instances. You cannot be proud at home, be rude, disrespectful to authority at home, and come to church and now be humble. You can't help it. And here's the problem. Even in relating with God, if you are not meek, you are proud in relating with your parents, you can't help it. You'll be proud in relating with God. Because the configuration of your heart does not change when you change location. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when you receive, you are not faithful as a believer in the influence that God has given you. At some point, you know that because of what God has, the influence has given you is that you are paying some of your family members' school fees. You have some influence in your family. It's not much, but it's some influence. And some people will use that influence and say, all these people that are paying their school fees, they will know Jesus. Because the fact that you are doing that gives you some legal standing. You have mouth to pray for them before God. You have spiritual jurisdiction over them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you not only use your prayers, you use your words and your actions and example and say, these people must become agents of the kingdom of God. That is being faithful with your influence. That one was for somebody. Because there are 3 people, at least 3 people here, that God will bless you to the point that you will start paying people's school fees. Lord, we confirm your word that we are speaking here with signs and wonders. I pray that number will be more than 3, but you will start paying people's school fees. Right now, you can't do it. In fact, you can't even imagine, but very soon. Amen. This brother is one of them. This brother. So right now, be faithful with the little that God has given you, and much will be accounted to you. Much will be given to you. That's a kingdom principle. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. And he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. The next verse. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them how many talents? 5 talents. Now look at his reward. Next verse. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What is the reward? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Go to the next servant. Take note of this reward. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside it. Look at the master's response. Next verse. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over. I will make thee ruler over. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Is there any difference between the reward? It's the same. Yes, these are the people that received different talents. But the reward was what? The same. So you are saying, ah, God, me, you didn't give me the ability to preach. You only gave me the ability to organize things. You don't realize that. You just be faithful in that one. Eh? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When the time of reckoning comes, if you are faithful and I am faithful, it's the same reward. With the influence that God has. Some people, their influence was just their children. Their children, and they were faithful. Some other people, their influence, according to God's map, is 15 million people. Are you following me? Just be faithful with what God has put you over. And there is a warning here. Let's go to the next verse. Because there is a tendency for people to feel that they have not been given much to be unfaithful. Because of bitterness. That's why the Bible says, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. If the Lord begins to open your eyes to see from the perspective of his kingdom, you will see that it is foolishness to compare yourself with another person. Because this life on earth is just a rehearsal. It's a dress rehearsal. The kingdom is coming. Tell your neighbor, the kingdom is coming. Then the one which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. The same bitterness, the same that you saw in the guy with the one that refused to do anything with his pound, with his mina. It says, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, okay. Next verse. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, dear, thou hast that is thine. Now, let's just move on because of time. So you will see that in the first parable that we read, everybody had an equal portion of something. In the second parable that we read, which is true and is germane to everybody's experience, everybody had a different measure. We don't have the same abilities. And God knows why. All fingers are not equal. You know that, right? Some fingers are longer than others, but all of them have their function. And in order for you to be complete, if all your fingers were equal, there would be a problem. This finger has the ability to enter the ear and clean it. This one does not. This one does not. This one, try now. It's not, it doesn't have the ability. So there are places that, are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus does not only want to reach the loud, he also wants to reach the remote places. And the truth is that, as you are, just you be faithful with the assignment that he has given you, and let your affection be on things above, not on things on the earth. The reason why we compare ourselves with ourselves is that our affection is on the things on the earth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen to me, and I need you to understand this. God will give you everything you need to fulfill the assignment that he has given you. This man of God here, as he's faithful and he grows, a time will come, and see, mark what I'm saying. Because I know when God gave me the prophetic mantle, I know it was 2015. A time will come that he will have a jet. And some people will say, all these pastors. In 12 hours. Okay. And the reason is not because of, you don't buy jets to park. It's because of work. So, sir, some people, where the Lord, if you understand what it means, where God says, I'm going to give you a jet. Some people go and start crying and say, God, it is labor. You know, it's just like traveling with public transport and traveling with your personal car. You know that there is a difference. You have to go to the park and wait for the public transport to be full. That's the reason why people have jets. The people that have jets because they want to show off, that's their own problem. But if you look at the world, not even the church, you see that very serious business people like Elon Musk, they have their jets because of the flexibility of movement. You can wake up in the morning now and say, ah! Or you don't want to be wasting time in the airport. I know a man of God, when he had jets, I'm not going to mention his name, many people were raising, your guess is as good as mine. See, personally, I don't know a man of God in this country that is more hardworking than that man. There was a time when he used to travel. You will see him preaching in Kenya in the night, on Saturday. On Sunday morning by 6 a.m., he's in his church preaching. How is he able to do that? So, listen to me. If you need $1 billion every month for the kind of assignment that God has given you, God will provide it. Amen. I wasn't even expecting an amen. I'm not, this is, it's like 9 o'clock news. It's just align and let God give you your influence. He gives talents to his servants. He gives influence to his servants. It's not every believer that is his servant. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because in order to serve him, he has to train you. That training process is called discipleship. In fact, that word disciple is an old word. That word came to bear, it was what they were using in the time that they wrote King James. And for religious reasons, we have refused to change that word. But so now you find that when they say he is somebody's disciple, he's only taught within the context of religion. When that word was used, it wasn't taught within the context, it was an everyday word. Another example is the word baptize. Some mischief has happened in this life. You know, the word baptize is not an English word. Is a Latin word. When they were translating the Bible to English, they wrote a note. The Bible Society said, make sure you don't translate that word. Amen. No, there are some words in English that are now English words. They are not original, like rendezvous. Rendezvous is not an English word, it's a French word, but it's now an English word. Rendezvous means meeting point. The word baptize is like that. And one of the reasons why they said so was because if they had translated it to English, it would have meant to drench in water, to soak in water. And the church was doing sprinkling baptism. Did you get? So if they had translated it to English language, it would have been clear to anybody that read the Bible that sprinkling is wrong. So they said, don't change that word. Leave it as baptize, the Latin word. Amen. So the word disciple is similar to that, because when you talk about a disciple, there's this idea you have that a disciple is a follower. Everywhere Jesus Christ went, they were following Jesus, and that is true. But if that is the only thing you understand about disciple, you are getting it wrong. I think it was David Paulson that said the modern word for disciple now, he's an Englishman, a well-read Englishman, a Bible scholar, that if he was going to translate that word disciple to a word today, it would be apprentice. Not student, apprentice. The reason is because when you are a student, You are being taught. When you are an apprentice, you are being trained to become like. So if you have a master, and that's why you discover that apprentice, they normally call their organ master. They say, my master said, have you noticed that the level of submission for apprenticeship is not the same, it's on another level. You are learning tailoring, they will tell you that you should bath baby. You should wash car. What is the connection between... What is the connection? Is that it's submission? So that's, we are apprentices of Jesus, and the goal is that everything that our master, you know, if you are an apprentice of a tailor, after some time, when you have finished your training, you should be able to sew the way your master can sew. So the purpose of discipleship is that we should become like Jesus. So everything that he can do, the things that he, that's why he said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works. Because any good master wants his students to do better than him. And it does not mean that the students are greater than their master. Oh, I don't have time to explain the way greatness is measured in the kingdom of God. Jesus did ministry for only 3.5 years. His disciples did ministry for decades. So they had a time to do much more than Jesus did. Do you understand? So we are apprentices. The purpose is that we become like Christ. So he said, and I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent on the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. And we knew what his own reward was. His reward was punishment. Because whereas people were going to come into the government of the master, you rule over 5 cities, you take dominion, you'll be master of ruler over many. Say, you take him to a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he will be taken to a place of regret. I don't think that is talking about hellfire. Because notice that this language was used for people that were serpents. Because if you are not faithful and you appear before Jesus, may we not be ashamed when we appear before Jesus. Because many people will appear before Jesus and they will be ashamed. So our Lord Jesus Christ said, on that day, many will come and say, Lord, Lord, we cast it. Out devils in your name, we heal the sick in your name, we did all of this, and Jesus will say, I don't know you, depart from me, you workers of what? Because now, how many of us have wondered how people that were casting out devils in his name? And I hope you know that nobody will have the temerity to appear before Jesus and be telling a lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, think about it. You think you will appear before Jesus, the one who sees all things. They actually thought that they were serving Jesus. But what disqualified them long ago, I think the Lord, Holy Spirit, helped. The Lord wants me to hammer a little bit on this point. But what disqualified them long ago, and they did not know, was that they were carrying iniquity along with their service of God. They were carrying iniquity along with their service of God. And if you know the way God is so benevolent. What you will not lose is ability. And that talent that he gives you, you won't lose it. So maybe you were casting out evil spirits. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Why did Jesus not say, I don't know you again? Why did he say, I never knew you? It's the mystery of the book of life. Tell your neighbor, the mystery of the book of life. You see, if you read the book of Revelation, it talks about how that the book of life was written, people's names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. You've seen that. And yet you now see another place where it says that certain people that believed in Jesus, whose names are written in the book of life. Because the book of life is an eternal reality. And when you accept Jesus Christ and you become joined with Jesus, you receive eternal life. When you take those matters of eternity and bring them into time, eternity is older than time. If something, okay, for example, you gave your life to Jesus yesterday and you understood the message of the cross, have been crucified with Christ. The Bible says that one, you now see in the Bible that one happened from the foundation of the world. I was in him, How? I mean, I gave my life to him yesterday. Why? It's because of the mystery of eternity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, we can interpret it to say, God already planned it, and that's true. I don't have time to untangle all of that. But I just want to make this point. Jesus warned directly, and the apostles warned in effect, that it is possible for people's names to be blotted out of the book of life. If your name is written in the book of life, it will become that God had always known you from the foundation of the world. If your name is removed from the book of life, it will become that God never knew you before. It's a mystery. Are you understanding? So, how did these people get to the point where they had the capacity to cast out devils? Clearly, at some point, they were following Jesus, but they did not abide. They became workers of iniquity. If your name is removed from the book of life, so you can be doing casting out devils, healing the sick, and you have a side chick. And angels are just looking at you. You know, they all used to take record. They're just looking at you. The last time, and that is why such a person, there are some demons he will never be able to cast out. Because those kinds of demons require you to still have connection with the Father. And you had lost the connection long ago. Even you know. You know how, you know the motions of the anointing. But you no longer have a connection with the Father. I hope I'm, sorry, we've entered advanced. This is not foundational class. Thank you, sir. So, they are walking in iniquity, but they are, because of the gifts, they think that they are okay. Because they are seeing the power of God, they think that they are okay. They don't know that they have one day, because God will give you, see, if you know God, he will give you opportunity to repent. He will give you warnings. If he can literally slap you, he will slap you. Hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. If you refuse to repent, they will erase your name from the book of life. And then you will go back to the category of people that God, Jesus never knew. Never knew. Whereas if your name is in the book of life, he had always known you. You were with him from the foundation of the world. You gave your life to Christ last week. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, that's why you must, this doctrine of the cross, you must become like Christ and put to death the works of the flesh. Don't say because I am seeing power. Power is a proof that God is still happy with me. Jesus said on that day, many will come and say, we cast out devils in your name. We did so and so miracle. We healed the sick in your name. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And I pray for everyone here, you will never hear those sad, bitter words. In the name of Jesus Christ. Child of God, the most important thing in this life is to appear before Jesus Christ. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servants. That is the most important thing in this life. Let's go back to our parable. Now, what is it that we all have as believers and we all equally have? Because that one, you can use it, you can increase it, you can multiply it, and if you multiply that one, as we see in the parable of the minas or the parable of the pounds, that one is the reason for which your kingdom ranking will increase. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some believers that don't have too many abilities, but they have stature, they have sonship, they have a relationship with the Father that you cannot deny. In fact, when Apostle Paul was telling Timothy how to choose leaders for the body of Christ, they were not going to look out for gifts and ability. What they were going to look out for was faithfulness. It was character. It was the nature of Christ. The degree to which you are conformed to the image of Christ is the degree to which you are mature or perfect. Thank you, Apostle, for helping us. When you see the word perfect, replace it with what? Mature. So that you will not be confused. Because that's it. What do we all have access to? Equally. Even if you didn't have any ability, which is impossible, you feel you have access to sonship. You have access to, we all have access to God equally. You can grow in sonship. And this growth, listen to me. You know how we grow in sonship? Is as we grow in transformation, in becoming like Christ. Amen? And that happens because there's something called the law of beholding. What did I say? The law of beholding. Have you ever seen, maybe you have a relative, or some of you were even probably like that before, where you were following a particular musician and you really liked the musician. And you liked the musician and all of that. And you now realize that all of a sudden you started talking like that musician and dancing like him. You never planned it though. You started behaving like him and dressing like him. It was worse during the time of Michael Jackson. If I see no one guy today, if you see me, he looks like Michael Jackson. I don't know how he did it. It's the law of what? They don't. Yes. But you've heard the name Michael Jackson. If you knew Michael Jackson days, there were people that, you know, he would call. People used to fall under anointing when Michael Jackson is missing. They would be collapsing. I don't know where, of course, we know where he got that from. It was, his own was something else. You will see people, they will start wearing white socks. Grown men. It's the law of what? Beholding. That's the way God made us. What we behold, we become. So that's why it says, looking unto Jesus. The author of, because as you behold Jesus, we beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So there are some very tough people I've been discipling lately. You know, this kind of Yahoo boys that have done all kinds of things. Tough people. In fact, there's one of them, I looked at him. He doesn't speak English very well, he's Yoruba. And me, I don't speak Yoruba very well, it's English. But I realized that I could communicate with him. I said, the Holy Spirit told me that, let these boys just be coming to hear the word of God. Amen? See, you don't need to bother yourself about transformation. Just bother yourself about beholding, focusing on. Just let the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As that happens, you will find that you are becoming like Christ. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Then are you my apprentices indeed? And you will know the truth. And the truth will what? Will set you free. Because as you become like Christ, and you become acquainted with the knowledge of the truth, there is a truth behind the universe. So, I don't think we can do that in this program. The knowledge of the truth. See, as you become like Christ, you will discover that, number one, you will just discover that you have authority. You will just discover it, that the same things that you were afraid of 5 years ago, you are no longer afraid of them. You know that when you speak, they will respond. Your words can literally expel demons out of places that they have been occupying for years. Maybe there was a tree in your community that everybody knows that this tree, and so you used to be afraid of passing under the tree. And please, don't pass under the tree when you are afraid. Faith is not bold face. When the faith is there, you will not be afraid. That's when you should pass under the tree. Don't pass on, you are fearing. Yeah. Be wise. Amen? Amen? That is a word for somebody. But as you build capacity, you just got that one day, you will see that thing and say, why have I not been passing under this tree? And then you pass under the tree boldly. And then you say, oh, you that evil spirit or those evil spirits inside this tree, I curse you. I bind you, and you know that they are bound. And then you begin to hear stories that show that the power, they will, after some time, they will stop pouring libation under the tree. They will say, the tree, they are no more answering us. It was you that passed under the tree one day. You grew in capacity, and you cursed the spirits that are operating through that place. But that happened because of capacity. And this capacity is becoming like Christ. Let's be a little practical. Jesus Christ gave us many teachings to show us his character and his nature. He said, treat people the way you want to be treated. For in this, you are fulfilling the law and the prophets. Do unto others the way you would want them to do to you. In the world, they even call it the golden rule. You cannot, that thing, you cannot do it if you don't have the Spirit of Christ. Because human beings are patently, fundamentally selfish and self-centered. You cannot treat people the way you want to be treated. And you cannot treat people, in fact, if you read the writings of Paul, he says, esteem each other higher than you esteem yourself. That is actually the way you can be sure that you treat people better than the way you will treat yourself. When if there is one chair, you know there's a way you want people to allow you to sit down. Allow them to sit down. Amen? That's the nature, that's the character of Christ. That's the culture of the kingdom. It's a meek culture. You see, when you find people who are like Christ, if a husband, that's the reason why Apostle Paul didn't give any allowance for divorce among Christians. Because how will people that are like Christ divorce? How? See, I don't care how different you are. If you have the character of Christ, and I have the character of Christ, and we are living together, we won't have misunderstanding. Because while you are seeking my good, I'm seeking your good. And we are trying to outperform each other in goodness. Are you understanding? Not in an evil competitive way, but we actually get joy by serving others. The Bible says love does not seek its own. You see, this becoming like Christ, if you have the character of Christ, the power of Christ will follow. Amen? Okay, maybe this will help us grab this faster. How many of you have noticed that in the world, it is very easy for witches to get initiated and start working in power? Somebody that gave their life to Ogbaje's spirit 3 months ago is now appearing and disappearing, literally. Passing through walls. The things that when we see in our midst, it is global celebration. Have you noticed that? And these things happen because I have a real story. I know somebody whose house girl was possessed. And she didn't know until something remarkable happened today. This girl was so bad. You know, there's a way a child can be bad, that the badness is not just the flesh. The person is behaving like a demon. So they said, okay, we are going to leave the house and we. So they left the house one day and locked the compound. And locked the house. You know, most houses have iron door and burglary proof. And they said she should stay inside the house because they will go and they will come back. She was supposed to be taking care of baby. Baby will be in the house. They will come back. She's not in the house. 3 hours, where is she? They've not seen her. So one day they carried their baby and said, okay, so that you will not go and lost, because they were living in the city. So that you not go and lost in the city when we're not around. They locked her inside the house. And they said they are going. So they came back earlier than they were supposed to come back. They came, they opened the gate normally, opened the burglary, opened the door. They got inside the house. They did not see Ekaite. Her name is not Ekaite. I'm just using that name. They did not see her in the house. Ah. Which road did she follow to come out? Later, a few hours later, they saw, because she didn't know they would come so early that day. A few hours, she started coming back. And then they met her. They were like, how did you come out? She couldn't answer. Which road? The doors, we came back, we met the door. You don't have the key. The long and short was that the sister said, pack your load now. You are leaving my house. Pack your load now. And she took that one to her mother's house. Her mother was a more mature Christian than her. That one still stayed in her mother's house for like 3. Her mother was not afraid of the girl. May you get to a point where you will not be afraid of a witch. At that point, you will realize that you are more dangerous than the witch. The witch has access to one oracle somewhere under a tree. You have access to the eternal father. Even if things spoil because you slept off when you were supposed to pray, you can wake up and say, Father, reset. Father, undo. And you have this relationship with him as father. And you know it. It's called the spirit of sonship. The spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we are sons of God. And you grow in this as you grow in Christ's likeness. Because communion and koinonia happens because of compatible nature. If you are a liar, God cannot be close to you because you have a nature that is different from his nature. It's not consistent with his nature. If you are very envious, there are some things that God cannot communicate with you. Amen. Amen. So what do we all have access to equally? We have access to God, and we have access to become like Christ. Grow in the nature of Christ. And we are all at different levels. I am telling you, the level I am right now today is not the level I was this time last year. If I still remember when I met my wife and we started, you know, husband and wife talking and all of that, there were a lot of misunderstandings we used to have then. And one of the things that the Lord did for me was that he quickened again this understanding of becoming like Christ. Because the goal is to become like Christ. It says, let's read chapter 8, verse 29. I think that is it. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, his son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. There is a way Jesus behaves. You should know. God has his own nature. And that nature is different from the Adamic nature. What did I say? God has his nature. And that nature is different from the Adam. That nature that you were born with. You know, there is a nature we have that we have. Normally, we have a tendency of comparing ourselves and competing and envying each other. That is not consistent with the divine nature. It's not. And as you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that will guide you into all truth. Remember Jesus Christ said, and you will know the truth. As you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, he will be removing those things from you one by one. One day he will say, this your promise and fail. He will be on that matter until you change. That you said you'll be there by 4 o'clock. It's 4:13. And you are not there. Because do you know that when you become somebody like God that keeps your word, that if you say I'll be there by 4 o'clock, you'll be there by 4 o'clock. And you build yourself in that character. Actually, that's a function of faith. Faith makes you truthful. There's no time to explain that. Faith makes you truthful. Because in order for you to be a person of faith, you must be a person that trusts. Your heart must be a heart that trusts. If you are not truthful, you will not trust people. And you know the example I gave earlier that if you are proud to your parents, you'll be proud to God. If you are not truthful, you will not trust people. And because of that, you will not trust God. You can't help it. You know, it's people that lie the most that suspect people to be lying. It's adulterers that are normally suspecting their wives that they are adulteresses the most. Even if their wife is innocent, they will suspect her because they don't trust anybody. So being truthful is a proof of faith. If I find someone that is a pathological liar, I know his faith is very low. I don't care how he does everything. His faith is what? Low. Because they go together. May the Lord give us understanding here. Why do you think it took Abraham 25 years to have Isaac? God was working on that man. Amen. God was working. You know, Abraham was a prophet. He knew how to lie very well. You think God liked it? Abraham got to the point where, you know, the reason why Abraham was used to lie was because he was afraid. He was afraid because he said, these people will kill me. If his faith was strong, he would have known that they cannot kill him, that God was his protector. But there was a time that Abraham grew beyond that. All that fear. He trusted God beyond that. And God kept, I wish I had time to show you how God kept testing Abraham. The last test before Isaac came was when those strangers, he didn't initially know that they were special people. It was the nature of Christ that was forming in him, because the Spirit of Christ was operational in the Old Testament. Are you aware? He said the Spirit of Christ in them speaking. Amen. Abraham became so Christ-like that he saw strangers and welcomed them so warmly. Later, he realized that they were not ordinary people. Amen? If you see the book of Hebrews admonishes us that some have entertained angels without... It's one of the... Christ is his kind. His, when you see people that are scorched in sun, they are strangers. The first disposition that will come to your heart as a Christ-like person is... Please come and relax. You love people. You care for people. When you see people stressed, you are concerned. That was the last test that Abraham passed, and he was going to receive his Isaac. Because there are many things that God wants to do for you, and is carrying you on the journey of transformation. And as you pass the test, and pass tests that demonstrate that you are like, and God sees the image of Christ in you more, he can take you to the next level. Amen. So the goal is to become like Christ. He has, and the secret of this is beholding. You are in this ministry, you should have at least 200 of Apostle Edu's messages in your phone. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And it's not there to occupy space, it's there for you to listen to it. Because Christ speaks to you through him. The words that we are speaking here, they are not our words. They are the words of Christ. And Jesus, he says, Colossians chapter 3, he said, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Some people, the only time they hear the words of Christ is on Sunday morning for 30 minutes. And that's why they are more worldly than that. They have more of the worldly nature, even though they are Christians and they love God, than they have the divine nature. Because Monday they watch Big Brother. Tuesday they will watch Big Sister. Do you know? And I'm just speaking.
Several hours.
Then they will now go to church on Sunday and hear the word of God for 30 minutes. And they are wondering why lost is not living there. If you are lost, will you leave their heart? But as you give yourself to the ministry of the word and prayer, as you behold, you just discover that your temperament is changing.
Yes, sir.
In our family, one day you will say, why are no verse? And then you'll be looking for the verse. It will not be there. You even want to act angry.
Yes.
But you say, it's not there. It's because you were listening to Apostle Edu's message day in, day out. The words of Christ were dwelling in you. You know, one of the reasons why I believe that this end time church, I know that the glory will be greater than the former, it's because of the kind of access we have to the word of God that our fathers did not have. Those days, you know, I grew up in a pastor's family. You know, cassette, video cassette. We pack them, and a whole cassette. We only play a 45-minute sermon. And that's how we'll be gathering. Now, in your phone, you can have hundreds of that. You can say for the next 1 week, the only thing I will be doing, I'm on a retreat, the only thing I will be doing is bathing and maybe eating. I will be watching messages, and your phone will accommodate those messages. If you don't have memory, you go online. We have YouTube full of thousands of edifying videos. Because in this last day, the glory of the Lord, this last day is the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. Because as you are becoming like Christ, your life will begin to invoke his glory.
It is the image that invokes the glory. And the secret of becoming like Christ is allowing the words of Christ to dwell in you richly. You are here, you only come here to come and see power. You are not giving to the ministry of the word. You better repent. Amen. The least of us among us shall be as strong as David. If what I am doing is true, and if I'm authentic and I'm raising disciples, the things that I'm doing, they will also be able to do it. And the way by which disciples are raised, listen to me, is not only by impartation, it's by learning. Jesus said, if my words dwell in you, he says, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples. What do you think? Do you know why those people followed Jesus and they were living with Jesus? He was always teaching them. And he was recalibrating their value system. Can you cry to God this morning and say, Lord, recalibrate my value system? It pains me when I see believers that are living in fear of demons. They are more afraid than their unbeliever neighbors. It pains me. Is the whole Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Living God. He's the Holy Ghost, the scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, the seal of the age to come, bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, recalibrate my value system. Can we rise up on our feet? Because the Lord is beginning to touch some people in our midst. You see, the reason why he's touching you is because he's touching your mind. He's anointing your eyes. He's anointing your ears. So that you will be able to understand. Hearing, you will hear. You will see. You will see as what to see. His name, Ova Shele Mane Kabayos, Shele Manabe Kabash, Zovo Le Kapofo Mane Kabane Anides, Shalababa Le Kabos, Le Kabane Le 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 Kabos, Nega Le Ba Shalababa Le 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 Kabos, Zovo Le Kabane Le Le Kabos, Le Kabane Le 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 Kabos, Gala Le Gala Le Kabane Le Gala Le 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 There's a work that the Lord missed. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want you to be truthful to yourself. This is between you and God. It's not between you and me. You know the areas in your life where you are not like Christ. And you may have been struggling with these things. But the Lord has brought deliverance because the cross is a solution to the flesh. And now that you have come to terms with this truth that I don't
exist to please myself. I exist to please the Lord. If you agree with that truth, that assent, that agreement will release power into your life. And you will find that those works of the flesh will die and they will not resurrect. Now, I want you to identify those areas in your life. You are a believer. You know, there is community iniquity. In Nigeria, one of our community iniquity is corruption. And one of the ways you will know that you are a disciple of Jesus is that you will be in a community and you'll be immune from the iniquity because you will be free. Paul said, "Am I not free?" Identify, maybe you are a believer here and you know that you are not honest. You know. And God will wait for you till you pass that honesty test before he brings you into some measures of blessing that you have been praying for. Can you confess to the Lord? Confess to the Lord. Say, "Lord, this thing in my life, you know it. And I know it. And I don't want it again. I don't want it again. It's a weight. And it is not compatible with the divine life. You said I have been buried through baptism. How can something that has been buried still be manifesting in my life? Let it die today." Please pray this prayer sincerely. The Lord is raising here a community of saints. Kavoshala. People that have the character of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody was offended when I said the Lord is raising here a community of saints. Say, "Are we not saints?" Listen. When you are being purified, the end product is that you will be pure. Right? When you are being sanctified, the end product is that you will be a saint. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you are being sanctified, the end product is that the process of sanctifying you is sanctification. And it is upon sanctification that we enter into sonship. If you have time, go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14 to chapter 7 verse 1. You will see that this, we are sons of God. It does not happen automatically because you believed. It happens after sanctification. It says, "Come out from among them and be thou separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters." You want to enter into sonship? Sanctification is the way. And the word of God is what sanctifies us. Because the word of God is the one that will show you that this is not the way to behave. This is not the way Christ behaves. Christ does not approve this manner of speaking. Can you pray again to God and say, "Lord, sanctify me. Sanctify me. Sanctify me wholly. Spirit, soul, and body. Sanctify me." Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Two people here are receiving a prophetic gift. And the sign is that your right hand will become very hot. Holy Spirit, I pray that this gift will come. You see, God is giving you this gift not because you qualify for it. We don't really qualify for it. It's because of the decision that you have made now to be holy, to be sanctified. And he's saying, he's giving it to you in trust. And that gift will grow as you grow. Holy Ghost, you will feel the intensity of the heat on your hand. I'm not talking about the heat of the environment. You know that this one is from the Lord because an angel is moving in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mashallah, kavo solo vole katalia. Ekepo sovole kavari kavo solagai. E mashallah vale katavale kava solo vole ka. Enketevo sovole katavai. Mashallah vale katavale deles. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody be silent. Let those receiving from the Lord receive from the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you move through this congregation by your power, by your glory, and deposit gifts. Confirm your word now with gifts of the Spirit. Yes. 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 Mashatovayin kabayale tebanai. Confirm your word with gifts. Majakatilis nekavai. Now, Lord. Now, Lord. Now. Mashakatavale kava. There's somebody else. There's somebody else. Majakatilevosovolis. Sheleba nekavosovolis. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask that the archangel, that cherub that is here, we move to this part of the hall. Jesus. Okay. It's Edu's place to ask for that. Mashalabone kadenes makaya. Emajokovai nesovonenga vali nesmalekai. Malenga vosovone kashlavova. Ambatele kanenes samonengalia. Where are those people that feel that intense heat on your right hand? Please don't come out if you didn't feel that heat. Come out if you felt that heat. Because there's a prophetic mantle that God is releasing. So these are the two people that received that prophetic mantle. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus. Where is my brother? Apostle. Come and pray for your children. The Lord wants to give them a strong prophetic mantle.
Okay, where are the people that you felt just come out a little more? Are you one of them? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask, O God, that you confirm your works. Confirm your word over them. Confirm it with an activation right now. Let their spirit be strong enough to express everything that you want to communicate through them. We ask, O God, that all the channels of the expression of their prophetic gift, let it be open. Let their eyes be open. Let their ears be open. Let their dreams be open. Let their intuitions be open. Let their impressions be open. Let it be open. Let the signs, tangibilities, even on their body, let it be open. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be open. 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 Let the angel, ministry of the angel that signals the operation of that gift, let it be intensified. 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 In Jesus' name.
I came back because I wanted to tell you the reason why the Lord gave you this gift. Amen. You see, this gift that he has given you is a trust and you must use it. Amen. Please don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself. Now you are going to go and evangelize. And when you evangelize to people, through the prophetic grace, you will tell them the things that they have done. You know the way Jesus evangelized the Samaritan woman? That is one of the purposes for this. See, Jesus must come, oh, sir. And we must take the gospel to the ends of the world. And one of the gifts that God is releasing is the prophetic.
It's a sign to the Gentiles. It's a sign that brings people into the body of Christ. By this gift, you will curse altars and they will dry up. You have come out by the Spirit of God. You have been implicated for work. And the angels are taking record. I told my brother to come and pray for you because of there's a father's blessing. So, do you do evangelism here? So these people that have these gifts, you will see their level of fruitfulness. Father, we give you praise. Let's lift up our hands and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Mashalavale kaboso banin kapashalabais. Neselebanin kapasholovole kabas. Lord, put your hand upon him mightily and let your fire come upon him. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Put your hand upon him. Mashalabale katabalis. The Lord wants to use this boy. He's delivering him from something that they would have used to limit him. He's coming out of him. Get out! Mashakapatabalis. Shelevo dakabashalabalis. Be free to serve the Lord. Be free. Be free. What limited your father will not limit you. In the name of Jesus. There's somebody else like him that the Lord wants to use. And the hand of the Lord will come upon you on the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Receive it. Let that person come here. Because the Lord also wants to deliver you. Bring him. Shalabale kapasabaladadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad
He's the one I want to lay hands on him. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Say that we've been delivered out of the hands of our enemies. We serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives without fear. Lord, I ask that you place your hand upon him with power. Yes, yes, the hand of the Lord is coming upon you with power, mightily. It's breaking every yoke. It's breaking every yoke. And let that thing come out. That thing that every deposit of the past, come out. Yes, that's it. Coming out through the mouth. Come out. There are two more people. And the Lord wants to give the grace of an evangelist. I don't have time. But the Lord will confirm his word. The hand of the Lord will come upon you. You will feel it. You can't miss it. Just make sure you don't, as long as you don't leave this place and go and commit fornication, you won't miss it. And the way you will know is that you will have a new tongue. Maybe those people should come and testify in the evening. You will have a new tongue. When you speak in tongues, you will know that you have received a new tongue. When you open your mouth and speak, people will show up. Your words will start drawing people. It's one of the manifestations of the grace of the evangelist. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Apostle.
Can you pray in the spirit for 1 minute? Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Keep praying a little more. Cast your seed and offering. If you don't have cash, you can do the transfers as they display it on the board. By 5 p.m. prompt, we'll be here. You can see that the river is intensifying and anything is possible. In Jesus' mighty name. God is just telling me now, I just want to close, but there's somebody here that you have a growth in a part of your body. In fact, let me be specific. You have growth in a hidden part of your body. Just stand where you are. Lift up your hands. Holy Spirit, I ask you to heal him now. Deliver him. Let your hand touch him. Let that infirmity go. Father, we thank you for this service. And we ask you to intensify your work amongst us, even beyond this allotted time of meeting. Let there be progressive encounters in our hearts to bring us to the full intent of all your ministration, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You are blessed.
We believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edude Chukwu, with unlimited access to life transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.